Hello and welcome to the Southampton audio programme for today's fixture against Watford. In today's issue, we have a look over the opposition, a feature interview, an update on the Southampton women's team. But first, a word from your manager, Russell Martin. Dear Saints fans, welcome back to St Mary's for today's home fixture against Watford. It was really important for us to get back to winning ways here on Tuesday night against Coventry City. As a group, we felt really frustrated about the previous three games. I think everyone in the stands felt it too, which I can understand given the results. I believe our performance on Tuesday night showed everything that I felt was lacking in the draw at Blackburn. It showed how much the players really want to fight and run for each other against a really good side. I said to the players before the game that people have questioned their togetherness and mentality, but I was really pleased with how they responded to that. I don't think anybody could doubt the resilience and character on display against Coventry. We played some really good football, especially in the first half, and I think we should have had one or two more goals because there were some really outstanding passages of play at times that we didn't quite convert into clear-cut chances to score. Sometimes you have to respect the opposition you're up against, and Coventry did have a spell in the second half where they pulled a goal back and made us suffer a bit. They're a team who have been flying in the second half of the season with real attacking threat and the creativity in the goal scorers they have, but we limited them to only two shots on target in the game, which is really unusual for them. That underlines how well we defended. I wrote in my programme notes on Tuesday how pleased I was with the clean sheet at Blackburn, but that we needed the defensive resilience to be coupled with the attacking threat we've been showing in countless games this season, and I felt we were much closer to getting the balance right against Coventry. Now we have to keep building on that. The midweek results show how unpredictable this league is, and I'm sure there are still many more twists and turns to come in the final 3 weeks of the season. As I said before, all we can do is give our very best to win as many of our remaining games as possible and see where it takes us. Tonight, we face familiar opposition in Watford, with this being our fourth meeting this season, but every game is different and there has definitely been a change in their approach under interim head coach Tom Cleverley. Tom was a top player who will know the players well and command their respect in the dressing room. They played really well in their first few games in charge, so we know we can't read too much into our previous games against them this season. At the end of the day, it's up to us to bring our best level. If we can do that, I strongly believe we can beat anybody in this division. We march on. Six of Southampton FC women's players were called up to their countries in the final international break of the season, including a milestone moment for goalkeeper Kayla Rendell. Despite being initially selected for the England under-23s, Rendell was drafted into the senior squad for the first time in her career as she became the first Saints player to be featured in an England women's senior team. She gained valuable experience with the squad as qualification for the 2025 Women's European Championships began for Serena Weigman's side. Rendell watched from the bench as the Lionesses drew 1-1 with Sweden at Wembley Stadium before they beat the Republic of Ireland on the road. Elsewhere, in Euros qualifying, Laura Rafferty captained her country once again as Northern Ireland took 3 points from Bosnia and Herzegovina with a 3-1 victory. Rafferty played the entirety of her nation's first two matches, as she also helped keep a clean sheet and a goalless draw with Malta. Alice Griffiths also featured in qualifying, and she made her sixth international appearance for Wales as a late substitute in their 4-0 win over Croatia at Wrexham's Racecourse Stadium. She then watched from the bench in the second game as Cymru dominator Kosovo to earn maximum points from their opening qualifying games. Finally, at under-23 level, the trio of Ella Morris, Lucia Kendall and Molly Pike were called up for the final camp of the season, which included a friendly against Sweden. Morris played the full 90 minutes and assisted England's opening goal, teeing up Liverpool's Missy Beaukearns to set the young Lionesses on their way to a 3-1 victory. Kendall came off the bench in the closing stages as a late sub, while Pike watched on from the sidelines at AFC Telford's New Books Head Stadium. The bond between Will Smallbone and Southampton keeps getting stronger. They've been through a lot together, not least in the last few weeks, as the midfielder, who's one of our own, continues to prove his worth to Saints' promotion push. There's no place like home for Will Smallbone. The 24-year-old has been representing Southampton since the age of 8, and a fan his whole life. But last season saw him taking a change of scenery. He was never quite a regular in the Premier League, especially after suffering a serious knee injury in January 2021 that kept him sidelined for 9 months, understandably stunting his progress. It necessitated a loan move as the Basingstoke boy spread his wings for the first time, fending for himself at Stoke in the Championship. Playing in 43 of the Potters' 46 league games, he returned battle-hardened to the rigours of Saturday football. When new manager Russell Martin made it clear last summer that he was a big part of his plans, Smallbone could not wait to come home. 9 months on, the boss has stayed true to his word. Only the two Armstrongs, Adam and Stuart, have surpassed Smallbone's 41 appearances in all competitions this season. "I've really enjoyed it," he grins. "I think last year was very good for me to go out on loan to play some games, and then to come back this year and play a big part in this season has been unreal for me. Something that I've always dreamed of, and to actually be doing it feels amazing." Smallbone is described by his manager as a player's player, someone appreciated more by his teammates and those from watching afar. He brings a calmness to Saints' midfield, a rare ability to dictate the pace of play. His athleticism has improved, but it is his brain that moves quickest. Smallbone often looks to be a step ahead of the rest. During pre-season, one of the questions put to many of the Saints' new recruits was about which player had impressed them the most. Smallbone was a popular choice. "I think everyone wants to get the respect of everyone they play with," he says modestly. "It's nice getting it from elsewhere, from external sources, but the people that you see day to day and the people that you work with day to day that you're on the pitch with, if they recognise what you're going to bring to the team, I think that probably means the most to you." Maybe it's his ability to do the simple things, acting as a facilitator for his teammates, that has made him a target for social media trolls when Saints haven't won games. Maybe he should shoot more from 30 yards or take on three players more often. Maybe it's his unassuming character, his reticence to fame, all that he's Saints' best academy graduate since James Ward-Prowse. Maybe wearing the same number on his back that the departed skipper wore for 8 seasons attracts unfair comparisons. Maybe he should just be scoring free kicks, like James Ward-Prowse did. Maybe it's just that he has no hair. Smallbone was diagnosed with alopecia in 2021, something he wonders might have been linked to the stress of the injury, and is now an ambassador for Alopecia UK. Maybe that's it. That he stands out on the pitch. Whatever the reason, Saints' long-serving and least deserving player was recently forced to deactivate his Twitter account after being bombarded with hateful messages. "I think everyone's got an opinion on Twitter," he shrugs. He can literally laugh it off now, but that wasn't always the case, nor should it be. "It's tough. It's not nice for me to read, but it's almost harder for the people around me that love me, that want to help me and fight for me, because they can't, because there's nothing they can say. It's not nice to see, but they're all very supportive, very good for me, and I can't thank each of them enough." Anyone can create any accounts and pretend to be a Saints fan or whatever, say whatever makes them feel better. For me, it was better to just come off it and not listen to it and focus on playing football. It says a lot about Smallbone's maturity that he doesn't tarnish the fans with the same brush. They are separate. In fact, after the abuse that he received in late February, after 3 successive defeats, it was the club's supporters who helped pick him back up. Another ally was Martin, who launched an impassioned defence of his midfielder in his pre-match press conference ahead of the Birmingham away game at the end of that week. "I don't like social media for that reason," Martin fumed. "It's become a cesspit of negativity and toxicity, and a place where people feel they can say something they would never say to their face. I'm not on it, but I've been made aware of it, and some of the stuff I've seen, I just don't understand what human beings say those things. There are a lot of, for want of a better word, idiots and unhappy people that want to project their unhappiness on other people. It is so someone who, if you're a supporter, tries to give everything, every day to your football club, a football club he loves. Whatever you think of him, he plays a lot because he's a brilliant player and he's a fantastic young man who's growing a lot. It's been a privilege to work with him and to understand his story and what he's been through to get to this point. I believe Will does have a strong sense of self, what he has been through, so I don't worry about Will." One particular VAR comment referenced cancer. Even more disturbing, given one of Smallbone's teammates, David Brooks, had to overcome that himself. When Saints did make the trip to St Andrews that week, Smallbone was serenaded by Saints' travelling fans and produced a man-of-the-match performance, proving Martin was right not to worry about his headspace as his team triumphed 4-3 in an epic encounter. Brooks, who scored the first goal of the game, finished second in the poll to crown Saints as star man that day. Some things are just written in the stars. We all support Will, and some of the comments are absolutely disgusting, Brooks said, offering a teammate's perspective. It's just one of those where, if those people do support Southampton, you don't really want them in any part of your club. There are obviously a lot of stupid comments you see online and a lot of wishful thinking from horrible individuals, but it's just one of those things. They wouldn't say it to your face, and they're just uneducated and a bit thick, so just take no notice of them. It's a weird one, because it went from being such a bad week to such a good one in such a short space of time, Smallbone reflects. I guess that's just football. One week you could be the hero, the next you could be the villain, but I had such a good support around me. My girlfriend was unbelievable, I have to say, and obviously my family and friends as well. They were all very supportive of me, and the teammates, the manager as well. Lastly, the fans. When we got to Birmingham, the support I had was unbelievable, and something that I'll never forget. At the end of the game, Martin playfully pushed Smallbone towards the away end, keen for him to take the glory for himself for once. The fans were brilliant for me, especially on social media. He laughs at the irony. I've seen a few different bits where they've all been very supportive, and I'm very thankful for them. That was a moment that I'll always have. I'll have to work on the bumps. Fist bumps to the crowd, but I'll leave that to the gaffer. If anything, you get the sense this delicate situation has actually strengthened the bond between Smallbone and his club. The match-going fans have responded in his time of need, and the influential midfielder who described St Mary's as an unbelievable place is more driven than ever to reward that support with a promotion party at the end of the season. I always look forward to the home games, and we seem to always get a full crowd as well, which is probably quite rare in the Championship, he ponders. It's honestly such a great feeling to go out and play in front of that. It's what I've always dreamed of doing, and to actually be doing it feels a bit surreal. But the atmosphere that we create and how many fans we get in the stadium is unbelievable. It's something that I've always dreamed of growing up. I don't think I ever wanted to go on loan before. I have to say, Stoke were brilliant for me, but my goal was always to come back here and to play for Southampton, a team that I've come through the academy for and a team I've supported growing up. It does mean a lot to me to be playing here every week. It would be unbelievable, he says of promotion. From day one in pre-season, everyone's come in with the goal to go straight back up, and I think we've put ourselves with a great opportunity to do that. With a few big games to come, hopefully we can do it. And finally, time for your local lowdown. We asked opposition expert Andrew French from the Watford Observer to preview Watford's visit to St Mary's from the Hornets' point of view. With four games to go and Watford sitting in mid-table, how would you sum up the season? On the whole, I think it's been more or less what was expected. Very mid-table. We flirted with the relegation zone early on, and we got very close to the playoff places. But our performances overall have been inconsistent, and before a ball was kicked, I was predicting we'd finish somewhere between 12th and 15th, and that looks likely. Valerian Ismail lost his job last month. What was the general feeling around his departure, and why didn't it work out for him? Ismail did a good job of changing the squad mindset and instilling a better attitude, and towards the end of last year, he looked like he might exceed expectations as we were knocking on the door of the top six. But then it all went wrong. We still haven't won at home since November 28th. We stopped scoring goals and became ultra-cautious to the point of negativity. I think he made a mistake not bringing more than one player in during the January transfer window, and his safety-first approach to games meant we spent too much time on the back foot. Despite Watford's well-deserved reputation for being quick to sack head coaches, the club gave Ismail more time than most, but by the time he was let go, the fans were generally in agreement with the decision. Tom Cleverley has stepped in as an interim head coach. Watford were four games unbeaten ahead of Wednesday's trip to Ipswich, hauling a couple of promotion chasers along the way. How have recent performances been? It's been chalk and cheese to what went before. Very much on the front foot. Not excessive amounts of ticker-tacker in defence, and the desire to win games rather than trying not to lose them is back. We could have beaten Leeds, we should have beaten West Brom, and Preston lured us into a trap of continually running into their low block. Nonetheless, no defeats in four is a decent start, and fans have certainly enjoyed the more attacking nature of Tom's approach, as well as the switch from 4-3-3 to 3-4-1-2. Is Cleverley a viable contender to be the manager full-time then? And is that his intention? He said from the start he liked the job full-time, but with the caveat that for the time being he's just focused on winning as many games of the nine that he had. So far, this prolonged interview is going well, although he could do with a home win, as it's 11 league games at Vicarage Road without one. He knows the club inside out, he played with a lot of the players, he's got tremendous experience as a player, and if he got the job, there would be continuity, which is something that the club has lacked. Who have been the standout performers this season? The captain, Wesley Hoyt, has had a very good season. Strong leader on the pitch, reads the game well and has an exceptional range of passing with his left foot. Some of the younger players have come to the fore. Ryan Andrews was only just making his debut a year ago, but now he's a regular with his pace and strength from the right flank, which has earned him an England under-20 call-up. Yasser Asprilla has been one of the bright spots, as he's such flair and natural talent on his day. Ismail Kone looks a class above the Championship level. The fear for Watford fans is how many of the last trio will be at the club come the start of next season. And finally, how do you see the game going today? Hopefully better than the FA Cup replay, when Watford appeared to simply be fulfilling a fixture and Saints ran all over them. Cleverley has reignited the squad, got the attitude back on track, and because he's looking to prove his credentials, he's ensuring this season doesn't just peter out. I could see us grabbing a point.